Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guest today is Amber Harper. Amber is an author, educator, Google certified trainer, and teacher burnout coach whose mission is to activate teacher self-empowerment to beat burnout and live a happy, fulfilled life. She is the founder of burnedinteacher.com, author of Hacking Teacher Burnout, and is obsessed with helping educators go from burnout to burned in. She also hosts a weekly podcast dedicated to action, inspiration, and support for teachers dealing with teacher burnout called the Burn In Teacher Podcast. Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast, Amber.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So this podcast focuses on stories of educators who've been in the trenches. Tell me a little bit about your own personal story, how you were a burnout teacher and kind of moved to becoming a more burned in teacher.
So I'm going to give you the short version because all 12 years of my teaching career, I started teaching in 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. All of the 12 years that I taught, I felt like I was on a roller coaster of burnout. Mm-hmm. I loved teaching. I loved my kids. I went through periods where I also got along wonderfully with my colleagues, my fellow teaching team, and other times where I didn't. And it seemed to me during this whole roller coaster episode that there was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And that I just felt the entire time that I taught, I just felt like what's wrong with me? Like, this can't be normal. I'm not going to settle for this being just the way teaching is, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I was struggling and when I was challenged, with teaching, and not with teaching, but with teacher burnout, I would try mm-hmm. to talk about it and it ended up becoming like a venting session. Yeah. And there was never any action taken. So I'm sure you can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
So, where I was challenged is that, you know, I would be told, you know, if I was struggling, you know, go for a walk, take a bubble bath, take some deep breaths, you know, those are all great self-care practices. Then I was also told, you know, to practice in some self-indulgence, go have a drink, go out with your friends, you know, back and go buy yourself something nice. But what I was challenged by is that I did practice self-care. I exercised every day. I ate healthily. I drank plenty of water. I did all these things to help myself in my daily habits to be a healthy, happy teacher. Mm-hmm. But when I was truly challenged and I really wanted to do something about it mm-hmm. rather than to be looked at as a negative teacher, it just never turned out the way that I had hoped that it would when I tried to open that conversation because I didn't know how to truly voice what I was challenged with. I didn't know how to put words to how I felt mm-hmm. because I loved teaching, but there was something inside of me that just wasn't feeling quite right. I just felt off mm-hmm. at certain points in my career.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're fine.
Well, I think a lot of teachers, you know, feel that way at some point in their career. And, you know, more and more nowadays, we're recognizing that that teacher feels like there's something wrong. But I could see myself in that story, right? Because a lot of time you don't have that support system. You're afraid to reach out to your colleagues because, you know, you feel like you're less than competent sometimes if you think that there's something wrong with you, right? So, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can identify themselves in the story that you're talking about and how, like, yeah, you were taking care of yourselves. You were taking time out and not getting like overwhelmed with work. However, you know, you wanted to improve yourself and you know, do something more, right?
Well, and the challenge was, and I'm very self-aware, and I wish that in my young age of, you know, when I started teaching when I was 24, 25, I wish I would have been more self-aware, but I wear my emotions on my sleeve, and I do not have a history of approaching challenging conversations very proactively, And I feel like if I would have had the steps that I created in Burn-In Teacher, which is what I always needed, mm-hmm. I would have been able to be more, I would have been able to open the conversation with an attitude of seeking understanding mm-hmm. and with an effort that was helpful for everybody involved. Yeah. Because my solution was to, I'm going to go to my principal, but I'm going to tell him how it is. Yeah. Or I'm going to have this conversation, but I can't talk because I'm crying so hard, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that so often, you know, what I've seen with my other fellow educators is that we look at this as this is just the way it is, you know? Yeah. And if you follow any really really popular education sites or hashtags or handles, the ones that focus on the negative, the hardships, the stuff that really stinks about the profession of education, mm-hmm. those are the most popular.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't really, unfortunately, there wasn't really a whole lot of opportunity for me to build that, number one, build the self-awareness that I needed, to build the skills that I needed, to really not just become this passive audience member of my life mm-hmm. and instead become an active participant where I stopped victimizing myself and started being proactive and active in my own life. Because that's essentially what I did was, it's not my fault that I'm so upset. Yeah. It's not my fault that these kids treat me like crap. It's not my fault that my principal doesn't have respect for me. I mean, now I'm not going to say that there aren't situations where you have a challenging administrator, sure. you have challenging students, you have challenging colleagues. But I can say from my own experience, and the reason I created Burn-In Teacher is because there was a period in my teaching career where I thought, holy cow, like, I wish that I would have had these steps to come back to every time there was any kind of challenge where I'm really focusing on what I can truly control and what I even honestly want for myself in this situation. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, like you said in my intro, you know, I want to activate that teacher self-empowerment. I want teachers to go from being a victim of circumstance to a taker of chance and also mm-hmm. allow them to work through their burnout. I've even considered not talking about beating burnout, but growing through the burnout, because what I've learned is that burnout is truly an opportunity and it's a call for change and action. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we get to that, what I've identified as stage zero of burnout, mm-hmm. we just don't see any other option but to quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really created Burn-In Teacher out of my own, it was really born out of my own burnout, because I was not happy with just being told, you know, join the club, this is just the way it is, quit or move on, you know, and that doesn't sit well with me. And I think that teachers are stronger than that and smarter than that, than to, you know, wave the white flag right away when things get challenging, rather than looking at how much power we truly have and stepping into that and thinking mm-hmm. about what it is that, what the opportunities could come from that burnout.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a great segue into just kind of like I said, I've experienced myself, and there's people I've worked with that they get to that point where they're blaming everything around them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not seeing the positive in the situation, and they can't see the end of the tunnel, and people, you know, counting down the days until the next break mm-hmm. and, you know, there's no pleasure going into work anymore. Right.
Right.
And they don't know why they got into the field.
And I should add too, being a Burn-In Teacher is not about becoming Instagram famous or creating YouTube videos where mm-hmm. you're doing all of these really flashy things with kids. Mm-hmm. It's not about becoming jazz hands and extroverted if you're an introvert and you're a quiet teacher. It's not about changing who you are.
Yeah.
It's really about deciding what you want. Do you want to stay in second grade? Do you want to learn to love second grade again? Or do you want to move to fourth grade or another grade level? Or do you in fact want to leave education? Like, mm-hmm. I think there's this crossroads that we come to where, yeah. you know, and my husband even asked me at one time, and this wasn't in reference to teaching, but I had clearly had come to a crossroads at another point in my life. And he just said, what do you want? And I was afraid to tell him what I truly wanted. But when I was honest with myself and with him, my whole world changed. And I think that that's what we need to allow ourselves. And I have it right here. You are capable and worthy of so many things, of being honest with yourself and taking control of your life and of your burnout. I'm all hyped up now. So
No. And I think that's a great point to really think about, because a lot of people just go year after year. They have the same job assignment. They might be at elementary school and they're always assigned third grade. You know, I know some elementary schools shift people around and they explore different grade levels, but you might be at a high school, you've taught this science class for years and, you know, you feel comfortable, but, you know, maybe changing schools will help get you a new perspective. So I think there's a lot of teachers that are kind of just set in their ways, either the way they teach or the environment, the school that they're in, the grade level that they're in, and they just don't see, like, looking at different options and exploring different things. And for me, it's just been that continuous learning, right? The learning, the going into the administration and just exploring that side of things as well, and looking at things from a different lens. But, you know, learning more about just how people react to situations and being in the education field. And I think we're all lifelong learners and we learn just through experiences all the time. But I think an important point to give for those newer teachers or those teachers that feel, you know, we know the statistics of those teachers that are 3 to 5 years into the field, so many of them leave, right? And I think the important point is in this conversation to have is, like, you know, stop and take a look at, like, is it the environment, is it the school, is it the grade level, right? Is there something that you can change before it, you know, quote unquote, does you in?
Because this is exactly the point where we could talk about burned in, because this is the point where you step into be, which is begin where you are. Is it okay if I
So let's look at that name. So what led you to want to write about burned in instead of burned out? And why are you flipping the concept from out to in?
So the story of burned in teacher actually started after I was in yet another bout of burnout. I had just started at a new district in a new grade level. I was surrounded by a lot of people who didn't know me. It was just a really challenging situation for me. I had to change a lot of my old teaching style. I had to adjust to this new expectation that this new school and district had for me. And I was really, really challenged by it. And I was invited to go to a Google Summit in Franklin, Indiana. And I was so burned in when I came home, like in the van on the way. I wanted a badge. I wanted to become a Google certified educator. And I didn't know it then, but then I wanted to be a trainer. And I had all these, I want to help teachers to get hyped up, just like I'm hyped up right now. Like I want to be in this room leading this breakout session. And I want to help teachers to learn how to use technology the way that I was just inspired. And I thought, I've got to talk about this, because I'm telling you, I did not want to go. I was invited to go. It was one of those situations where it's like, I don't really want to, but it's a chance for me to get to know some people. I was invited, a little bit of that teacher guilt it was set in there, but I'm so glad that I did. It changed my life. It was like a light bulb went off, not only in what lit me up, which was educational technology and Google, which I still do today. I still do Google training, et cetera, especially at the beginning of the school year. And especially now with online learning and, you know, all of the, you know, teaching and learning from home. But I also was inspired to talk about my continued challenges with burnout. And on the way home from the conference, I had fallen asleep. I woke up and I thought, burned in teacher. And I called it burned in teacher because it was 180 degrees different from how I felt going out. I was so burned out, so sad, so frustrated. And now I was like ready for school, like today. And I thought, I'm going to blog about my experiences with burnout. I want to open the conversation. It's not going to be negative. I'm just going to be honest. And I cannot be the only one who feels this way. And, but I also wanted to blog about my experiences with bringing more Google Apps for Education. That's what it was, GAFE at that point. How I was bringing that into the classroom with my first graders. And I was so lucky. I worked in a one-to-one school with iPads, and we used we used a technology every day. It was fantastic. And so I did. So I just started opening the conversation. I got an amazing response. And then I even have right here on my cell phone or my iPhone, I have voice memos of one day I was like, man, it actually was in fact inspired by Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Matt Miller. So Ditch That Textbook is an acronym. Ditch is an acronym. And I read that book and I was so inspired again, just super lit up for school and working with my kiddos. And on my way to school one day, I recorded myself saying, what if Burned In was like an acronym that I took teachers through? What if it was like an 8-step process? Uh-huh. What if B was like begin where you are and U is like understand? Like I went through all of these, like just brainstorming what the letters could stand for. And over the weeks, it turned into Burned In, an 8-step process to go from burned out to burned in. And I started a small group program. I started writing about the steps. I started my podcast. And now it's just this membership and community mm-hmm. that we are proactive together and allows you to open that conversation. So would you like me to tell you what the letters stand for?
Yes, please tell about this 8-step process.
So B is begin where you are. So it's really starting with naming your burnout. And I created actually a free quiz to help you do this. And I'm telling you, I've stood in a room wall to wall with teachers mm-hmm. and also, I've been in rooms with a small amount of teachers because they are ashamed to even walk into my breakout sessions because it's about burnout and we don't want to talk about burnout. It's taboo. So they will walk in and be, you know, they're quiet. They're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I should be here. I hope my principal didn't see me. They take the quiz and it's 6 questions, 3 minutes or less, super, super quick. And it identifies you as burned and unbalanced, burned and bored, or burned and over it. Mm-hmm. Because what I found is there are 3 different types of burnout depending on what season you're going through. And I've experienced all 3 of these. So that's the first step, is really identifying what type of burnout you're dealing with. And Dan Siegel says, if you can name it, you can tame it. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what this quiz does. It's also really reflecting on, and it's called Begin Where You Are, because it's like, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. I'm here right now. It's time to pay my burnout the respect that it deserves. Mm-hmm. Give myself time to sit in it and figure out why I'm here and how long I've been here. So physically, how long have I been at this school, in this classroom, in this district, in this grade level? How long have I been here? And then emotionally, how long have I felt this way? And really thinking about what brought me to this place. Mm-hmm. It's identifying your core values. It's really thinking about who your people are. Who do you want to serve? Mm-hmm. Who do you want to, who is your why? Like, why are you doing what you're doing every day? Mm-hmm. And then you is understand your teacher brand. So it's really, that's where I built in that self-awareness practice that I needed so badly. You know, what is it that, how do I behave? What do I say? Mm-hmm. What do people associate with my name? You know, we build a brand as teachers. And if you think about, you know, do you have kids, Dana? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know the teachers that they come and talk about in an excited, positive way, and a teacher they come home and complain about. That's a brand. Yeah. Your brand is based on repeated patterns of interaction. It's how you take care of yourself, your classroom, your content, how you handle challenge. It's how you conduct yourself in a staff meeting. Mm-hmm. You know that teacher that always has to get the last word in and the last question, right? Like you listeners out there, and I'm sure Dana, you just laugh. Like, you know, people have a brand. You carry it with you. Now, the good news is that brands can be changed, yeah. but it takes you being willing to have some gut check conversations mm-hmm. and ask yourself some gut check questions. And again, allowing yourself and your students and your colleagues and even your family members to be honest with you about what they associate you with. Mm-hmm. And then that takes some work because your brand is whatever your people say it is. Yeah. And your people are typically, as a teacher, those are your students. If you're a teacher coach, your people are your teachers. If you're an administrator, your people are your teachers. Mm-hmm. So it takes some work there, but it's so worth it because this is where a lot of eyes open. And then the next step is reflect on your challenges. So this is really thinking about what is challenging me? What do I honestly have control over? What do I not have control over? And how can I focus on solutions to these challenges? Mm-hmm. So this is really a time for you again to pay respect to what do you What makes you cringe daily? Mm-hmm. What is it that is really, truly challenging you? Is it your relationships with your colleagues and your administrator? Is it your relationship with your students? Is there too much to do? Not enough time to do it? Are you bored to death? So all of these challenges, you're really paying attention to them. Again, giving, instead of like just shoving them back, shove them, ignore it. This is just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Really thinking about what is challenging you and what you can truly do about it. Mm-hmm. N is nurture your strengths and habits. So this is where, and tell me if you've ever experienced this, if you ask a teacher like, or if you're having a conversation and they describe their personality, what do they typically say?
Sometimes they'll say outgoing, creative, go-getter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overachiever, perfectionist, people pleaser, type A.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a lot of times when I work with teachers, that's what they identify themselves at. Well, type A personalities are actually people that are very controlling and they want everything to be perfect. And they want control over everybody within their reach.
Yeah.
And that's a recipe for disaster when you put a bunch of type A personalities in a building together, working with children that are coming to school with different expectations at home, different abilities, different goals, different behaviors. It's a recipe for burnout when you want to control everything. So this is the part where we really, instead of looking at and just self-identifying ourselves as a type A control freak, really learning more about our strengths and our personality types, but also really paying close attention to our habits mm-hmm. and how we could be hindering ourselves from being the best version of ourselves by our daily habits, how much sleep we get, what type of food we eat, how active we are, the people we hang out with the most. Mm-hmm. So this is really an important step because it's really thinking about, gosh, you know, I'm staying up until 12:30 every night, getting up at, you know, 5, working all day and doing it all over again. So you're not really taking care of yourself and nurturing those strengths that you have as a teacher. E is extend your reach of possibilities. So this is really about educating yourself. Like, what are you allowing into your head and your heart every day? Are you listening to the radio? There's nothing wrong with listening to music. You know, it can be very soothing. But if you've identified those challenges mm-hmm. and your possible solutions, what work are you putting into extending your knowledge? If you're challenged with classroom management and student behavior, mm-hmm. what are you doing to extend your reach and possibilities? Are you listening to podcasts, taking a course, finding a mastermind group, finding a Facebook group on, you know, are you surrounding yourself with people who are allowing you to extend your reach and really creating an environment where you can learn and can try new things? And then your possibilities have to do with what is it that you enjoy doing? So this is really, what do you do for fun in your life? And when you say, yeah, well, that only happens during the summer. Well, this is really a time where we look very closely at the fact that where you spend your time is your choice. Mm-hmm. And everything is a choice, even down to you chose to be a teacher in this school. Everything you do every day is a choice. And so we talk about how you manage your time and what it is that you're spending your time doing every day. And that leads really nicely into D, which is determine your long-term goals. And this is where you've built yourself up to really starting to take action. What do I want? All right. Do I want to be a school counselor? Do I, again, like I said, do I just want to love teaching second grade again? Do I want to get my endorsement in English so I can teach middle school English? Do I want to quit coaching football? What is it that you want to do and what steps are you going to take to get there? Mm-hmm. And then I is initiating lasting change. So I is really that monthly, weekly, and daily action steps. We can't just set goals on our birthday and on New Year's Eve. We have to continually be thinking about what is important to us and what will help us grow out of this burnout. And I'm telling you, Dana, it doesn't have to be climbing Mount Everest, mm-hmm. right? These goals are completely subjective and according to you and what you truly want. If your goal is to have 2 hours a day just to sit with your kids and play or read a book, that is a completely honorable goal. There's nothing wrong with it. Your journey is your journey. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's no judgment. There's no expectation other than you just saying to yourself, this is what I want. I love teaching. I just want there to be time for me to spend time with my kids.
Yeah.
So it's really then, okay, what are you doing daily to make that happen? What things are you changing about your instruction and your grading practices so that you aren't having so much work to do every day?
Yeah.
And then N is, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I think with the goals piece, a lot of teachers, they just focus on their professional goals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think of the personal goals and mm-hmm. making those personal goals, whatever it is, like yeah. running a marathon or, you know, losing this amount of weight or whatever it is, that yeah. is going to help you be a better teacher, right?
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes we look at personal goals a lot of times about, you know, physical health, you know, fitness, things like that. But there are also goals like maybe you and your family have talked about taking a trip for years and it just has never happened. And now all of a sudden your son's a senior
yeah.
and it's now or never. You know, we have this one life, this one opportunity to completely optimize our time on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And our personal goals, we continue to sacrifice our personal growth and mm-hmm. our happiness for a job. And, you know, sometimes teachers cringe when I, you know, identify teaching as a job, but it's a job. You get paid to be there. You mm-hmm. sign a contract. And that's not saying that you go in, clock in, be, you know, stone cold all day and just say, this is just my job. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, though, we do have to set boundaries around that job and put our own human, our human wants and needs ahead of our job.
Mm-hmm.
And then never settle is the last N. So that's really just putting burned in into practice, whether you have a small hardship or a global pandemic,
mm-hmm.
really thinking about, okay, let me step back here because my president's saying this thing, my superintendent's saying this, the public is saying this, my fellow teachers are saying this. Okay, how long have I been feeling this way? Well, since about February 29th, you know, okay, so what have I done? You know, who are my people? What are my core values? And then going through that whole process again, how would somebody with my brand behave on social media when addressing this? You know, how would someone with my brand prepare myself for this challenge? Okay, what are my true challenges here? What can I control? So it's just going through that whole burned in process whenever you are faced with something that maybe in the past you would have blown up and possibly not handled a situation in a very professional manner, or you would maybe become a victim again. And I've said this so many times, Dana, like I'm not going to pretend to know anybody's specific teaching challenge mm-hmm. or why they're burned out. You know, there are so many different reasons for burnout. There are so many different reasons that people are doing what they're doing, where they are doing it. But it all comes with the realization that we cannot continue to sit in this teacher misery and accept it as our eternal reality.
Yeah. And I think the point you bring about the social media, you know, who gets the most retweets, who gets the most likes on some social media. What I've been noticing just in the recent week, you know, a lot of people reacting to DeVos, you know, and nobody likes her, but, you know, mm-hmm. people can step away from somebody that they know doesn't know what they're talking about and realize, you know, they're in their own personal situation in their own district, their mm-hmm. own community, and mm-hmm. their own community is making their own plans. But right. there's this huge like outpouring right now on social media about how people are reacting to the governmental, you know, decisions when they're not the ones who are really making the decisions. So I think, you know, everybody can get sucked into negativity of some sort or another, whether it's in the building or on social media, but mm-hmm. it's how you choose to react to that. And if you choose to have that bring you down rather than see things from the perspective of, you know, your particular area and what they're doing in your area.
Exactly. Exactly. I actually was on Instagram this morning on my stories mm-hmm. and I mentioned something about this, like you retweeting people's tweets, you know, calling out, you know, people that are making decisions for us that don't know what it's like to be in a class full of 30 first graders, mm-hmm. like you retweeting blasts back at them, you know, I encourage you to share your voice to people that actually matter and that will actually be making decisions for you specifically. Mm-hmm. And then you need to choose how you're going to spend your day, because you're not going to change your reality by sitting on social media every day and liking and retweeting and resharing, you know? And that is, again, that's another choice that you get to make. Burned out teachers will sit in that negativity. Burned in teachers will say, this sucks. I agree with this. I'll share this, but now I'm going to go live my life and possibly do a little bit of planning, knowing that the plans might not work out the way I planned. Yeah. So I'm not going to put too much work into it right now because it could change tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think that that's a concept a lot of people need to have right now, is that we know, you know, there's uncertainty, and we've kind of been living this for 4 months now. And, yeah, you know, we still need to plan for the year, and, mm-hmm, you know, things can be adjusted as needed, but I think people have a lot better handle on it, but we don't need to react to, you know, every little pocket of situations in the U.S. And I think that's, like you're saying, it's kind of stepping above that. It's realizing that once you're in a negative spiral on social media, yeah, or in the staff lounge or whatever it is at the staff happy hour, mm-hmm, sometimes it's really hard to get out of that. And,
yeah,
and then you just think about, like, oh, everybody's upset because of this, that, and the other. And you know, people aren't able to enjoy, you know, what got them into the profession in the first place.
Well, and you tap into a really important part of you, of understanding your teacher brand, which is really paying attention to who you're paying attention to,
yeah,
and who you spend your time with.
Yeah.
Because if you call your teacher bestie Sally and do nothing but and then she does that back to you, there are no solutions involved in that.
Yeah.
But if you can involve yourself in a group of teachers who will help you to bring your blood pressure down, yeah, rather than up. You know, I've said this now for a while. If you have a conversation with somebody about a challenge you're having and your blood pressure is higher when you leave the conversation than, yeah, when you started it, you are having the wrong conversation with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand venting is healthy. You have to talk about what's happening in your life and what's frustrating you. But you also have to have a place where you find that it has become a habit to stop there, mm-hmm, and instead focus on, okay, this is ridiculous. I cannot believe this is happening. And it's not just happening to you, it's happening. And be talking about ways that you can solve that challenge, whether it be, who do I need to have a hard conversation with? Who do I need to go sit down and get the real answers to these questions? Because there's room for a lot of misinterpretation and unneeded frustration in education, because there's so many rungs to this ladder of, you know, superintendent to principal, to assistant principal, to coach, to, you know, so there's a lot of room for misinterpretation. And sometimes I think we forget that we have a voice, mm-hmm, and we are worthy and capable of seeking true understanding before we allow ourselves to get worked up and frustrated and burned out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point to make. So in a pre-chat, you talked a little bit about, after teaching for 12 years, you took a little bit of time off and then you came back. What did you learn during that break you took?
Great question. It was actually after 7.5 years.
Okay.
I left mid-year in winter of 2015, and I took a position as an executive director of an education nonprofit in my local community. I was burned out, so frustrated by my administration. I was definitely what I call burned and over it,
mm-hmm,
surrounded by a ton of negativity and apathy. And I have to say here, I worked with an amazing team of teachers. We were best friends, but we did a lot of venting together, mm-hmm, and that didn't help me. And I finally made the challenging decision to go ahead and try something new. And so I became the executive director of this nonprofit, and I was there long enough to close it, which was something that was so challenging to me. But here's what I learned that was so, so important, is that you cannot change a culture,
mm-hmm,
in 3 months.
Yeah.
You cannot change the habits and the brand of, you know, of an organization right away.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, again, being self-aware. It takes building relationships. And I learned that being an executive director of an organization is a lot like being a teacher in a classroom,
mm-hmm,
because people are not going to respond well to you if they don't know, like, and trust you. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge lesson. Now, they did not close because of me. There were pre-existing circumstances there, but it was a huge lesson to me that we as teachers, we are CEOs of our classroom. Mm-hmm. We are executive directors of the organization that is our four walls. Mm-hmm. And the sooner that we look at ourselves as leaders with a tremendous responsibility and tremendous power, gosh, that's really empowering to think about the fact that we have so much more control over the culture of our classroom than we think that we do if we don't walk in there with that understanding.
Yeah, because you could be in a building that might not have the greatest culture, but your own niche, your own area in the classroom can be a completely different experience for those students, right? Mm-hmm. It can be that oasis the students are seeking. And, mm-hmm. and I like how you talk about, like, you know, you could work somewhere for 3 months, you could work somewhere for a year, but if you're coming into a culture that's already negative mm-hmm. and toxic, you know, there's not much chance you as an individual is going to be able to change that. But then, you know, the culture in your classroom, you know, is a different thing than that organizational culture. So I like how you, how you pointed that out. So what kind of self-care routines do you practice that maybe you've kept up since this whole self-discovery and burned in? Mm-hmm. And then how have you been able to influence those close to you to become burned in rather than burn out?
Yeah. So one thing that I definitely, I consider self-care is really paying attention to who I spend time with. Mm-hmm. You know, we might take that for granted as these are just my friends. Well, you also choose your friends. Mm-hmm. And I have surrounded myself with people that are extremely empowering and also, I want to make sure that I'm clear about being positive. Being positive is not like sunshine and rainbows when it's, you know, when it's crappy outside. Like, we can be realistic, but still look at things in a way that allow us to move through it in a positive way. But I surround myself with healthy people. I surround myself with people who I have healthy relationships with and who help me to focus forward when things are hard. I actually have my journal right here. I do a daily journaling. I'm very, very intentional about how I spend my time. I think that is self-care that is overlooked. Really paying attention to not just what you're doing with that time, but also how you are making sure that you optimize and mm-hmm. create that time. I exercise every day, at least 30 minutes, whether that's a beach body workout or I love to run. Mm-hmm. And I make sure to get plenty of water. You know, since leaving the formal classroom a few years ago, I have realized that running a business serving people that you care so much about is, again, so much like running a classroom mm-hmm. And working for students. And there are a lot of times where if I wasn't intentional about how I spent my time and where my mindset was and where my beliefs were, that I could easily spiral into burnout. In fact, I just went through burnout several months ago. I shared about it on my podcast. Mm-hmm. Burnout happens to every profession, everywhere. It's not immune. You know, no professional is immune to burnout. So just making sure to take care of myself, focus on my habits when I'm not feeling well or I'm not feeling up to it mm-hmm. for the day. I really think about, okay, what brought me here? Begin mm-hmm. where you are. What's going on? How long have you felt this way? So I really am a practitioner of my own practice. I don't just talk about it. I live it every day.
Yeah. I think that's something people need to identify, you know, identify their thoughts for the day, identify, you know, what they're going to focus on and, you know, kind of centering themselves, however that may be for a person is great to, you know, kind of think about in the morning and then not get sucked into the negativity, like you said. And then, you know, taking that time, whether it be midday, the morning or, you know, the evening to wind down. I think that's great. Have you been able to influence a lot of people that you are close to in your, just your friends and family or other colleagues that have maybe gone through major challenges in their career, whether it's educators or other careers, and have they been able to kind of shift things to more the burned in perspective?
Yeah, actually, so I have two daughters. I have a senior, she just graduated high school, so she's going to be a college freshman, and I have a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I have been told by them, Mom, quit going burned in teacher on me. Because I will bring certain, and they've heard me talk about it on podcasts. They've heard me on my own podcast. Like they've even, you know, and I'll start a conversation. They go, oh, mom, don't go burden teacher on me, because they just want to vent. They just want to complain. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was just talking to my youngest today, because I think the bottom line here is that there is always going to be hardship.
Yeah.
Life is freaking hard. Mm-hmm. No matter what career you're in, it is not easy peasy lemon squeezy all the time. And if you are a teacher listening to this and you believe that, know that it's a lie. All right. And even people that seem to have it all together, they do not have it all together. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at, and I feel so bad, but look at Rachel and Dave Hollis. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were like this great couple. They built this wonderful company together and now they're getting a divorce. Like, mm-hmm. we don't know what battles people are dealing with on a daily basis. And people don't know our battles unless we open the conversation and prepare for those hardships. And so I was having a conversation with my 12-year-old today, and they're looking as she just made the cheerleading squad in the spring, and practice started up last week. And even before practice started, we said, honey, you need to know that the likelihood of you actually having a cheerleading season is low. Mm-hmm. And you need to prepare yourself for this. We're going to continue to go to practice, but we're not going to buy your athletic gear. We're not going to do that yet. It's not that we are being doomsday. Like, there's no luck involved here. This is science. This is a global pandemic. So there's no need in fooling ourselves to say the season could get canceled. In fact, you may not even start school at school. As much as people are talking about it, it probably won't happen. And if it does, great. But if it doesn't, we need to mentally prepare for this hardship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lo and behold, we got an email today from the athletic director that said, we don't know what's happening, but we're going to put some stuff on hold. You know, preparing for hardship is not doomsday. I'm not telling you to be a doomsday prepper, right? But I am saying that if you have these strategies in your back pocket for mm-hmm. when things get hard, you are able to go into every situation saying, this is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
And if it happens, wonderful. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, this is life. And it's my job as a human, all right, that wants to live a happy and fulfilled life to say, this sucks. What's plan B? Mm-hmm. You know, and that sucked. What's plan C?
Yeah.
So it's okay to acknowledge that things didn't go your way. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of times where it doesn't, you know, there are times that it does, and it just is. It's neither here nor there. It just is. You know, so in the Hacking Teacher Burnout book that's coming out soon, I can't tell you an exact date because I don't know. You know, we talk a lot about things like that, you know, the reticular activating system, how whatever you believe to be true, your brain's going to look for data and proof that that's true. And you know, what you believe is what you're going to find. Mm-hmm. And we talk about things like radical acceptance and making sure that you're focusing on, you know, is this settling? Or is this just the way it is? Or is this something that I actually can do something about? Mm-hmm. So it really is that preparation for challenge, but also learning how to live in the moment as well and enjoy that.
Yeah. And I think it's a good story to share about your daughter and how, you know, enjoy the time that you're practicing now. And even if you don't cheer for a game that's playing, you're getting that practice and you're learning the skills to be a cheerleader. And then, you know, keep in mind that this isn't going to last forever. I know we're kind of in the finish line and keeps getting moved. And, you know, we're thinking about, like, you know, what next year is going to be like, but we want to just remember that, you know, we're learning how to deal with challenges now, and that will serve us well in the future.
Well, another thing that came out of that conversation too, is she goes, well, I can't practice if I'm not in a sport, or I can't, she said something along the lines of, I can't exercise if I'm not in a sport. I said, honey, you better get over those excuses really quickly, because mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I don't have a coach that's waking me up every day to go exercise. Your dad doesn't have a coach to make him get on his bike. You know, you have the opportunity to become the best cheerleader on the squad because you have this.
Yeah.
And you have YouTube, and there is no excuse. And I think that's something that's a hard conversation to have too. Am I making excuses to stay where I am? Because it's just easier just to stay here. It's more comfortable to sit in this discomfort. You know, and there's two sides of that too, because you got to get uncomfortable if you want things to change.
Yeah.
You know, but then there are situations where you're so uncomfortable and so miserable, but you stay there because I can't do anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't change my life. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are lots of situations and, you know, and stories that prove that you can.
Yeah.
But you have to be open to it and believe that you can change, you know, certain things about your situation.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great piece to remember. So out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing especially you'd like listeners to remember?
Yeah, everything begins and ends with your beliefs. You know, I kind of touched that just a second ago. Your beliefs, and this is Mahatma Gandhi, right? Your beliefs become your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits become your reality. And, you know, this is your destiny. This is our one life, and you are capable and worthy of believing that you are worthy of change. You are worthy of having hard conversations, both with yourself and people that you need to talk to about how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, no, like I said, nobody is immune to burnout. Everybody is worthy of being happy and fulfilled, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy or that you're going to have to, you can't stay the same if you want things mm-hmm. to be different. You have to do something different, and it all starts with your beliefs.
Great, great. No, I think that's a great point to end on as people explore a little bit more about you. And you said that your book, you're not quite sure when it's coming out, but where should people look for that, and where can people find you online?
Yeah, so I've been posting about it on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Burned In Teacher. If you go to burnedinteacher.com/burnout quiz, you can take that quick quiz and identify your burnout type. You'll get an ebook that helps to walk you through the stages of burnout. As I mentioned earlier, there's stage 0 through stage 5. So you'll get an ebook that helps to walk you through that. And then you will have an engagement with me through my email community. I have a free Facebook group at community.burnedinteacher.com.
Okay.
So we have conversation. In fact, right after we get off of here, I'm going to jump in there and have a conversation with my teachers in there. And that is free. And you can also email me at support@burnedinteacher if you have any specific questions. And if you go to times10publishing.com, if you just Google it, Hacking Teacher Burnout is right there on their books page. And then you can register your name and email address to be updated when it comes out, when it's ready.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to reading that when it does come out. And thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. It was really a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure as well, Dana. Thank you so much.